Well, this morning, has anybody ever had any struggle at all? Any of you here today? You said, well, I didn't get my prayer answered. You ever had trouble with answered prayer? Maybe your prayer wasn't answered yet. We don't give up, I know that, but and today I want to talk about one key or one main source of our ineffectiveness to answered prayer. Then a lot of Christians and a lot of us, we think about it occasionally, but not all the time. You know, in much of Christianity, they don't think about it at all. And I'd like to share with you this morning in Matthew chapter 6, a couple of parallel verses and passages that show some of this truth. And let's look at Matthew chapter 6 for a moment. It may not be a message this morning that makes you shout, but when we can understand the power of it, it will make you shout. Your inner man will shout. Sometimes there are things in the Word of God that are more uncomfortable to our flesh, but they begin to bring change to our life, and they can help us in our answers to prayer and our answers in walking with God. Matthew chapter 6, and I turned to the wrong book. Hallelujah anyhow, right? Praise the Lord. Matthew chapter 6, I want to look at verse 5 and 6 for a moment. And we've looked at this chapter before, but let's take a look here. It says, and when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut the door, pray to your Father who is in secret, in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Hallelujah. Well, when we look at this verse, we see something that Jesus said, and he apparently assumes, and I think you would also. It says, and when you pray, in other words, Jesus was already expecting that they would pray. How many think that's true? I mean, when you pray, I mean, he's talking to them. Don't be. The first thing is he comes in with what? The negative. He says, don't be like the hypocrites. They love to pray standing on the street corner so that they could be seen by men, not to be like them. In other words, they're there, they're standing. Oh, you know, in other words, they want everyone to see, and probably praying with a loud voice. Oh, Father, you know, it kind of reminds me of when Jesus gave the parable of the Pharisee, remember that? Who went in and he began to talk to the Lord. I fast twice a week. Look at my great deeds, Lord. Look who I am. And the Bible says God didn't even listen. But then he saw the publican, the tax collector, the man whom everyone looked down on and thought he's a terrible sinner. He bowed his head in his heart before God and began to say, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. So here he's really talking about something that we call pride. And every single one of us deals with something called pride. How many know where the first sin of pride was committed? Was it on the earth? Or was it in heaven before God? Amen. How many know that it was Lucifer that committed the first sin of pride in the heaven? In heaven. Can you believe that? He was lifted up, the Bible said. He said, I will. Pride says, I will. I will exalt what myself. Well, let's read this other passage. But he says here, we're talking about prayer. I'm sorry about that. But that's where the first pride, he said, don't be like that. Don't get into pride and arrogance and our own way, but humble your heart before the Lord and say, Lord, I am at least going into the private place of my own heart. Amen. How many know he lives? You are the temple of God. Now we can get alone. It's good to get in your own room and bow your knee and pray to God. He said he'll reward us openly. Amen. But we also have the room of our heart and we can say, Lord, I'm coming to you. I'm bowing my heart, my life to you. I worship you, Father. And that doesn't mean, you know, that's anywhere that we are. But it is good to go into a place, to go into a room, amen, close that door, and you and God together. You seek him. You humble your heart before him. And you say, Lord, I need you. I know Pastor Doug is a good man, and he's got a lot of answers. But Jesus is the answer man. Amen. He's the one that knows everything. You know, we know some things, but I don't know anybody in here that knows everything. And I don't know anybody that's living today that's preaching the gospel that knows everything. But I do know that God knows everything. And he can talk to you. And he knows your situation. And he knows how to help you. Amen. So that's the first thing, that sometimes there are things that hinder us, and one of those things is pride. The second passage I want to look at is here in verse 16 and 17, and it says, moreover, verse 16, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance. For they disfigure their faces that they may appear unto men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have the reward. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, so that you do not appear unto men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Amen. And so here I know we have sometimes public fast or a fast of our whole church. And everybody says, well, we know we're, we don't know. That's why we leave it up to you how you want to do and how you want to fast. If you want to fast a meal here and there, that's fine. If you want to do a full fast, we recommend that. That'd be great. How many know? I don't call you up. Have I ever called you up, said, how come you're not fasting today? Didn't you know we called a fast? Because it's not something that's mandatory, but it is something that we encourage. Because here Jesus said, again, just as this other verse on prayer, he says, when you fast. He's not saying if you fast, but when you fast. Doesn't that imply that Jesus took it for granted that we would fast, and that they had fasted at that time? So here's one and the same. We have prayer, when you pray, when you fast. And he said, don't be like the hypocrites again, where you're seen of men, oh, I'm fasting, that bless God, I've been fasting for 30 days, or however long you fasted. And he's just saying we don't do it to be seen of men. If you're doing it to be seen by men, you've received a reward, and that reward is basically what? Nothing. You have wasted your effort, and you suffered in the flesh so that I might exalt myself. In other words, it's a humbling of our heart before the Lord. Amen? That's the first step. We have to lay down any kind of pride or self-will. And so, when we fast, here again, of course, indicates that Jesus expected that we would fast. These are exactly parallel passages that Jesus, he puts praying and fasting really on the same level, doesn't he? He said, when you pray, when you fast. When you, you know, earlier he said, when you give, talking about alms, you know, to the poor, don't be like the hypocrites again. But here he's putting some things in our life. He's not changing it. And I know that there's men of old that believed in fasting. Did you know Martin Luther believed that you should fast? He was the one, how many know who Martin Luther is? He was the one that gave the Great Reformation and the wonderful understanding that we take for granted in our day of what being saved by grace through faith. Hallelujah. How many are thankful for that? You know, we just take it for granted. Some of these truths that had to be fought for. He sought God and God revealed it. And he wrote his 95 thesis, which was to be, you know, he nails it to the church door. He says, we've got to change. You know, he didn't want to leave that church. He didn't want to go away from there. He thought he could bring the change of God to people, but they resisted. And how many know we have to go with what God says, even though sometimes man resists the truth? And we've been talking about that. We talked about that last week, putting our life on a firm foundation of Jesus' sayings. Hallelujah. John Wesley was a man of God that taught under the in days gone by here, and he believed in fasting. He said, a Christian who understands fasting and doesn't do that, he will backslide just as those who know to pray but don't do it. You know, we can kind of, how many know your life will at least wane if you don't pray, amen? But if you do, it will bless you. It will produce fruit in your life, and it's the same with fasting. As a matter of fact, John Wesley would not ordain any minister who did not agree to fast twice a week. He said till at least 4 o'clock on Tuesdays and Thursdays. I believe it was, if I'm remembering properly. But anyway, it was at least twice a week, and you had to fast till at least 4 o'clock every week, twice a week, if you were going to be ordained under him to be in the ministry, at least until 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Praise the Lord. So the number one barrier that we see here, partly to answers to prayer, is pride. He's saying here they wouldn't, you know, he said, don't be like the hypocrites. Don't try to be seen by men. Well, bless God, I spent X number of time in prayer. Well, that's great, wonderful, and we're happy that you did. And I'm not saying you can never share that, but let's be careful about putting our hope in what we did. If that's what it took, you know, I'm sorry to say it took me that long, Lord. You know, unfortunately, my heart needed more changing maybe than yours. And we should seek God. And we need to spend time with him. And it's good to spend long hours in prayer. Why? Because that's what brings change to us. That's what causes us to understand him. It's because we love him. We want to be with him. You know, have you ever been in love? Maybe some of you haven't. Some of you have, you know. But I mean, I'm sure, you know, how much was your phone bill when your husband's over and, you know, excuse me, over in West Africa there. Nigeria. Sorry. I will remember. Sorry. I was stalling because I forgot. But Nigeria, it came to me. They're from Nigeria. But I mean, when her husband's in Nigeria, you know, I bet their phone bill was probably higher than it is today. You know, and the cost, and she'd go visit him, you know, for a little while. And they were married and waiting for those papers to come in. Oh, God, come on. Come on, Jesus. Amen. And he's faithful. Here they are. Praise God. It finally came. How many know with faith and patience we inherit the promises of God? We can have some things. Sometimes it's not today. And I know when I've sought the Lord and spent some time in fasting, how many have ever done that? You, maybe it wasn't that day, maybe it wasn't that week, but you recognized, hey, there was some things that happened. Some changes took place. I had more answers to my prayer. See, that's what makes it a power twin. Because, well, not really. We'll get to that in a minute. You know, because it's a truth that God said in the Word of God is why. But when we humble ourselves with fasting, the Bible says, we can see some answers to prayer. And the reason, part of the reason that is because we begin to enforce the place that God has already put our flesh. See, we have a fleshly body. Amen? How many know that? You have a fleshly mind, and, you know, once we die, we're not allowed to stay on the earth. Our real person, our spirit man, leaves our body. That's really the definition of death. Our spirit leaves the body. The body is then what? Dead. It dies. Why? Because it is the spirit of man that really brings life to the body. Amen. And this body keeps us here, and it lasts X number of years, however many years it is, unless you lay your life down for the gospel, maybe, and are martyred, or, you know, some terrible accident happens and you're killed, or you know, a disease took some people out. You say, well, it can't take me out, amen. I agree with you. But if it does, how many know heaven's good? Amen. Hallelujah. We know our brother John, he wants to go there, so hallelujah. Bless his heart. So anyway, well, you know, when we lived our life out, you know, and you feel you've lived your life out, it's okay. I mean, the Old Testament saints, they would lay down, they would place their blessing upon their children and grandchildren and go on to be with God. They went to the, you know, Abraham's bosom, didn't they? The paradise, the place where they, I'm sure, was quite comfortable until Jesus came. They were saved in the belief in the coming Messiah. So God had that. But so the first demonstration, of course, we said a pride was not on the earth, but in heaven by Lucifer and Satan. And he was kicked out of there, wasn't he? And so here we see some scriptures. I want to, let's look at Luke chapter 14 for a minute. And here in Luke 14 is a story, a parable Jesus gives here with the banquet. And the people come to the banquet. And they are invited to a very nice place. Anybody here been to a banquet? We had one here, didn't we? Christmas banquet. Or maybe you have been invited to a wedding banquet. Amen. Or reception, you know, where they have food and so forth. So Jesus is giving an example here, and he says, you know, for them to take what the lower seat. Why? Because you don't want to be embarrassed to say, oh, well, we have these reserved for someone else. Would you please go sit back there with the only seats that are left? So we want to take the lower seat where they may say, hey, come forward, come up here. We want you to sit up with the best. Amen. You know, come up to the front and sit with that party. So, but verse 10 says, but when you're invited, go and sit down in the lowest place, so that when he who invited you comes, he may say to you, friend, go up higher. Then you will have glory in the presence of those who sit at the table with you. Verse 11, for whosoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Now I want you to notice something here that Jesus said. He didn't say, God will humble you. He didn't say that. But he did say this. He said, "He who exalts himself will be humble." So it's something that we do, not that God does. See, but he who humbles himself will be, what? Exalted. If we exalt ourselves, we'll be humbled. But if we'll humble ourselves before the Lord, we will be exalted. How many know it's good to humble oneself? Humility is one key that God has given us to come before him and receive. You know, I mean, I say that God doesn't humble us, but you know, sometimes people pray, "Lord, you humble me." He won't humble you, but you might be humiliated. That's usually what ends up happening, amen. We get humiliated because of our exaltation, or, you know, we say there, you know, if you humble yourself, if I humble myself here, you know, you're before the Lord, it's a safe place, amen. I like to get down on the carpet sometime, my office, and I just seek the Lord. Why? Because I want to humble myself. There's only one place from there. There's only one place that I can go. I can't get any lower, Lord. I can only come up, see? And when we humble ourselves before the Lord, he begins to exalt us. He begins to answer our prayers. He begins to see our heart. And you said, "Well, how could I possibly humble myself?" I'll just say this for a moment. You know, in other words, we were talking here on setting ourselves at the table. We don't take the head place because why? We want to leave room to move forward. And when we become the servant of God, we had talked about that last week. We become his son, his, in a sense, his bondslave. We choose to lay down our life. It's a choice by us. If we love him, he said, "You love me? You want to be my disciple? Lay down your life. Love me more than you do your family. Love me more than you do your brother and sister. Love me more than you do your husband and wife. Love me most of all." And God had even said, this is the first and great commandment, what? To love the Lord your God with all our heart, soul, mind, and all of our strength, everything that is within us. And that will cause us to begin to see who God is and who we are. See, if we keep the understanding and we reverence God, see, he is our Father. And we should love God and we should be friends with God, but we're not really friendly with God. In other words, in the sense that I treat him casually as I would some, you know, a friend or someone that we just know very, very closely, we treat him greater because he is. Amen. He's the one that is our Savior. And there's a certain amount of reverence that we have for him. It's kind of like this. If even though we may not honor a particular person, but someone that came in the back door, Mr. Trudeau came in the back door, we may stand. Why? Because we honor the position that he holds. We honor the place that he represents because we honor this country and we honor the land. Amen. And when you go before a king or a queen, there is a protocol, and we go through that protocol, and we bring many times they bring a gift, they bring things, and you don't just step out and start speaking until you are called upon, until, you know, you don't just go up and start talking to them, because there's a protocol that you're going through first, and you're making your way, and you are honoring that office and that place. And when we go before the Lord, we humble ourselves and we take our place before him. We say, "Lord, have your way. You are the King of all. I worship you. I magnify you. And even Jesus had said that in Luke 6. You know, verse 10, he said, what? Thy kingdom come this way. Pray. How do we pray? Our Father, which art in heaven, holy is your name, Lord. I worship you. First of all, I come before you, Lord, with worship and praise, knowing that you are King of glory and that you answer me, that you are the all-knowing one, that you are the God of this universe. I humble myself before you, Lord, and I say, Jesus, you are Lord of all. So here Jesus had said, you know, that if we humble ourselves, verse 11, he is the one that exalts us. It is pride often that can sneak up on us. Amen. James 4:10. Let's look at that for a minute. Look at a few verses here. I think I got time. Yeah. Hallelujah. I just want us to see this morning, there is a place and a way that we can approach our Father. And I am going to show some things because we're coming up on fasting time, and part of what we do when we fast is we humble ourselves before the Lord. We're saying, Lord, I don't know it all. See, fasting is, you know, in the world today, it's kind of getting popular to do some fasting. How many have heard of fasting? You know, you have a day here and you fast so many hours and it helps you lose weight and you trick your body and all that. But we're fasting for spiritual purposes. Amen. Now, you may lose some weight, and that's great. If you do and you want to, that's fine. But we're not necessarily fasting to lose weight. We're fasting to seek God and for spiritual purposes. In other words, my definition of fasting would be abstaining from food for the sake of spiritual purposes. Okay, I have a purpose, and my purpose is to know Him. My purpose is to humble my heart. My purpose is to allow my spiritual man to become stronger than my physical man so that I may receive certain answers that perhaps I have been struggling to receive. And it pushes my faith over the edge, and I receive that answer. You say, well, I sought God. I fasted. God must have moved. Look what happened. My prayer was finally answered. No, He allowed you to fast. He gave you that key that you may humble yourself and receive from Him. It moved me into a place of saying, yes, Lord, I believe. Because how many know there are times in your life, as far as you know, you are believing all you know how, and yet it doesn't seem to be happening. But there is a spiritual key that we can use of humbling ourselves with fasting and prayer, and we can see certain answers take place. Well, anyway, James chapter 4. I'm not even close, but we'll finish up next week if we have to. Hallelujah. I'll try to remember to do it on Sunday for all those that are listening. Hallelujah. Praise God. Where were we? James chapter 4, verse 10 says this, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. Hallelujah. Now here he's talking about also authority over the enemy. Verse 7, therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and He'll flee from you. Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. It sounds to me that could be referring to fasting there. Humble myself, draw near to God, let your heart be examined, cleanse yourself. Is my attitude proper? Is my heart in the right place, Father? You know, he also says in James there that we have not because we ask not, because we ask what? Amiss. Well, is it possible, Lord, that perhaps, Pride had gotten into our heart. How many know it's a sneaky thing? You know, we think, you know, sometimes, you know, the guy that's so humble, I'm so proud that I'm so humble. You know, doesn't that make sense, you know? What's that song? You know, when you're humble like me, you know, just, you know, when you're humble like me, you'll get your answer. No, we humble ourselves before Him, and part of humbling ourselves, part of what we do when we fast is we humble our heart. We humble ourselves. We abstain from food and sometimes, hopefully from alcohol for sure, but sometimes certain drink, you know, if you want to, that's good. A lot of times just water is a good thing to do. Well, it's up to you. Now, that doesn't mean you get to make smoothies in the, you know, in your blender, you know, what all can I put in here so that I can, you know, abstain from food. I got a steak and a, you know, a little potato and gravy and all mix it in there and drink it down. No. We're abstaining. You know, that means you don't partake of it. Anyway, I'm just throwing that out there, you know, because sometimes we like to think in our natural mind, you know, well, I could go down to Dairy Queen, get me a shake, right? That's not exactly, you know, that's kind of like drinking something, you know. No. We want to lay down our life, you know, and I know I'm kind of having a little fun, but sometimes, you know, we need to think about it and take seriously. What are we going to do? Are we really serious? Are we really serious about fasting? Are we going to lay down our life? Do we want to control our flesh? Are we going to allow God to enforce the place that our body was declared? Hallelujah. That's really what we're doing, and humble ourselves before the Lord. 1 Peter 5 says this. I'm going really slow today, and that's okay. We're just going to be going as far as we get, and we'll pick up some more next week. Because really, this principle is throughout the whole Bible. It's in the Word of God. And we'll look at some things here. Hopefully, we'll get at least one or two. Okay. Chapter 5, verse 5 and 6 says this. It says, likewise, you younger, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all you would be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. If we come to God in pride, the Bible says He resists you. He resists us. So we want to humble ourselves before Him. And one way we can do that is with fasting. But if we go before God, you know, with pride, and He resists you, guess who can push harder? You or God? He doesn't want to push us away. He wants to bless us. He wants us to receive His blessing. But one thing that can stand in our way is pride. How many know Satan didn't stand, you know, Lucifer, Satan, whatever you want to call him, but Lucifer at that time in heaven, he didn't stay there very long, did he? Pride did not get him equal with God. He could not exalt himself above the throne of God. It was impossible. He was cast down from heaven. When God resisted, Jesus said, I saw Satan fall like what? Lightning. It was lightning speed. It's not too hard for God to resist us. And He only really accepts us because of Jesus and what His blood accomplished and our faith in that blood. In what He did. Now see, we're doing this to receive from Him. This is a grace of God that He has given us. He didn't have to give us any key. It is one key. that we can use to seek after the Lord. Psalm 35, I believe it is. 35:8. I hope that's the right chapter, Lord. If not, I'll do it. Yep. No, 35:13, verse 13. David said here, in this verse, here at the end, he says, "But as for me, when we were sick, my clothing was sackcloth. I humbled myself with fasting, and my prayer would not return to my own heart." He says, I humbled myself with fasting. Fasting is one way we can humble ourselves and come before for God. Because we're saying, Lord, it's not about me. It's not my ability. I am letting my flesh be placed under. How many know you have a soul? You've got a will, right? You've got emotions. You have intellect. Primarily, that is our soul that comes against us. And David is here, and he is humbling himself. He is humbling his soul before the Lord. And our emotions sometimes want to do things, don't they? Amen. It expresses itself pretty much. There are three main parts, of course, our will, our intellect, our emotions. And we seek the Lord, but when it expresses itself sometimes negatively, we say, I want, I think, I feel. Don't we? And we're looking to ourselves. And God says, what you want is not important right now. It is, you know, what you think is not important to me. What you feel is not so important. But what is important to God is His will. Amen? Lord, you're saying to the Lord, what I want, what I think, is not so important, Lord. What I desire, Lord, what I feel, Lord, isn't what's important. But what I'm saying, Lord, when I humble myself with fasting, I'm saying, Lord, what you want, what your will is for my life, for this world, what is it in me, Lord, that doesn't love the lost? What is it in me, Lord, that isn't seeking you to see people come into the kingdom? What is it, Lord? Is there things on the inside of me that I need to lay down and seek after you? Am I selfish in some way, Lord? Am I allowing pride to sneak in upon me? And so God is saying, yes. And if you're going to align yourself with God's will, we're going to have to deal with our soul, amen? Our mind, our thinking, in other words, what I think, what I want, our decision, our will, and our emotion, what I feel. Well, I feel like this is okay, even though God said not to do it. People say that all the time. Well, you know, it's okay. You know, we just live together. I mean, God, I know that marriage thing is just a piece of paper. Then why can't you sign it? What's the problem? It's just a piece of paper. It's just a piece of paper, right? No, it's about a commitment, right? Amen. It's not a big deal. So if it's just a piece of paper, then just sign it. You know, go down to Justice of Peace and get your paper and there you go. You don't even have to have a fancy wedding. Amen. But you're just saying, this is before you, Lord. I'm doing it the way you design. You know, it's the way that, yeah, our society sees marriage. Otherwise, you're just shacking up, you know, or you're, you know, well, we're common law, you know. Well, what does that mean? It means we've been committing adultery for several years together, and now we're considered common law. That is common to us to sin. Amen. That's really what you're saying, you know, according to God's law. I'm not talking about man's law. I'm talking about God's law. Amen. Hallelujah. It's good preaching, Pastor Doug. Come on. You know, get a few more. I got some people laughing, but it's, you know, it is serious, you know. So what's important is we can do that. We can humble ourselves and bring our soul into subjection. You see, the stomach is a wonderful servant, but it's a terrible master. And every one of us has to ask the question, who is the master of your life? Is it you or is it your stomach? Oh, God, that even means Pastor Doug. Yes, I know. It's a good question. You know, people even know if you're in the ministry, you're listening, you said you're not exempt from that question. You know, and I've fought the battle on my stomach many times. And when I win, I see the blessings of God. I've turned my plate over many times, seen souls saved, lives changed, people healed, deliverance for people, salvation. Because maybe they're stubborn, or we see some things, and I was saying we can't make people do things, but we can change ourselves. We can let God's faith rise. And sometimes the answers that I've seen have not always have been immediately, not always dramatically, but in one way or another, I've come under the blessing of God. And I've seen it change some things in my life. And if I become arrogant, God withdraws His blessing. And I say, Lord, what's happened? And He lets me know in His gentle way, you become proud or selfish again. You want your own way. You're letting your soul and your will take charge. And it's got to be brought back into subjection to the will of God and to His word, amen, and to His way. How many have ever seen that happen in your life? You know, you didn't mean to, but you let your own way get back in there. We've all done that, haven't we? From time to time, you said, well, I want this and I'm going to do this. And, you know, this is what I desire, but we've forgotten to inquire of the Lord. Have we inquired of Him? Have we really said, Lord, not my will, Lord, not my way, but your way be done? And that's one thing that fasting will do. It's not the only way to humble ourselves by any means, but it's one way to humble ourselves before God and to begin to present ourselves before Him and to seek Him, amen, and to seek first the kingdom of God. He said, when you fast, just like when you pray. And it begins to enforce that place. Now, many of you know that. We didn't really look at those scriptures today. We may next time, but Romans 8:10, he says, our body was declared dead. It's a positional truth that we call a positional truth. We'll talk about that next week because there's more than one. Did you know you're seated with God in heavenly places, yet you're right here? That's a position that you hold in this realm of the Spirit. You are with Him and in Him. Amen. So we'll talk about that maybe next time. We'll see. But I hope that you could understand a little bit about one way that we can present our body to the Lord is we can fast. We can humble ourselves before Him with fasting. We can allow abstaining from food. You say, well, what does that have to do with it? It has everything to do with us. It helps to rein in our soul. Our mind, our I will, I want, I think, I desire. And it brings us to God. What do you desire? Your will, your plan, your purpose for my life and for those around me. Amen. All right. God bless. Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for the truth of it. We ask that you would bring grace to our heart and our life, Father, that we can continue to press into you and see answers to our prayers when we're struggling, Lord. When we're hungry for you, one thing we can do, humble ourselves with fasting, Lord, and see that you're the one that answers us, Lord, and we can allow our faith to rise and for you to take control of that situation, to give it truly over to you, Lord, and to use our authority and see answers to our prayers in the name of Jesus, Father. We thank you for that truth, Lord. We ask you would put it into our heart and help us prepare ourselves as we're getting ready, Father, for these days of fasting, Lord, and realize that we can humble our heart and receive the truth of what you have said. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.